It's time for a look back on today's match.
You're listening to the Full Time Report with Abe Gordon. The home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome on into the Full Time Report. Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz. Talking about that effort. And what didn't happen. And what didn't happen was anything we said in pregame. A 4-1 loss for Atlanta United. And that's all out the window. And I think Mike Conley was pretty accurate with what he said. It's gone the wrong way. We talked about a strong performance against Nashville. You didn't get lucky with the result. Not really a great performance against Charlotte. A good second half, a good fight. And I think you got a little lucky result. And to be fair, you had 10 or 12 minutes there where you thought the result could be even 3 points, not one. And then you came in today and you didn't get the performance like you had against Nashville. You didn't have the second half fight like you had against Charlotte. And then what happens is it's 4-1. And it was 4-0 before you were even able to strike for one. So a really bad effort pretty much all the way around, if we're going to be honest. And like Mike was keeping track, Philly took a 3 points here tonight on the road for them. And so you are dead last in MLS, Maddie. And tonight was a performance that kind of looked like the worst team in MLS.
This was a performance that you did not want to see. I mean, point blank, period. That's what it is. We talked about it coming in is we wanted to see, I think, a combination of what you saw against Nashville and Charlotte and continuing to see this team grow and be better and fix some of the things that, you know, needed to be fixed. And that didn't happen. I mean, listen, in the first half, it's a decent performance from them.
Sure.
You know, they're finding moments, but it's exactly like what Jason said. You know, they were finding moments. They just couldn't find the back of the net. And then New England is a very good side, and they were able to come in, and it's Carlos Hill who's able to drop in a little bit to the right, just absolutely overloading that right side. Elias Baez, he can't guard three players on his own. He can't do it all on by himself. And then the second goal, too, Josef is completely left wide open to send in the cross, and then it's right at the far post. It's what we saw against Charlotte. It's one of those where you weren't able to close it down in time. You gave them enough space, and they're able to capitalize. And the second one's off a recycled play, and they're able to go and find the second. Going into halftime, you wanted to see the same response you saw against Charlotte. And this is a team that has been in this situation before. So I kind of expected to see that same thing against Charlotte like we saw today. And you didn't see that. And it's not good. And this is a side that you cannot keep going down like this because you haven't been able to find the back of the net or the goals this season. You cannot keep expecting to go down and keep continuing to fight back when you haven't shown anything in front of goal. You just can't. There's no way to win games like that.
Especially when it's New England and they're the second toughest team in the Eastern Conference to score on. You did eventually get one from Miggy, kind of a mercy goal there late, but it was after the Revolution were already up 4-0 at that point. We'll take a look at the stats here. They're relatively meaningless because goals are all that matters. Atlanta United led in possession 52-48. A lot of that picked up after 3-0, 4-0. They let in shots 18-12. Similar story. Shots on goal 8-7 for Atlanta United. And the XG was what it was. The XG is just way off, so I don't even bother reading it at this point. It was not good for Atlanta United. And look, it's tough to have expectations that really any game is going to be like, wow, look at this team go. Like, it's very clear this is not a good team right now. And you get some surprises here and there. I do think that coming back from 2-0 just a couple of days ago was a moderate surprise. You know, it's a rivalry game and you're dealing with a variety of different things, but it's a surprise based on how the rest of the season has gone. Today is kind of what most of the season has been, unfortunately. You're completely outclassed in terms of goal-scoring efforts. It's too easy to break down. There's massive failures defending in the box. And yes, you're a little unlucky on your own side with the goal-scoring. Miggy had a really good game today, but he was unlucky. I think Turner makes a great save on one of Miggy's shots. The other one was kind of bouncing and just unfortunately wasn't cut hard enough left. It hits off the post. You get a little unlucky. But at the same time, when you've got Carlos Hill, absolutely Tim Hardawaying Tristan Moyamba 30 yards from goal and then taking a touch and putting one past what looked like a screened Oyos. And then you've also got Dor Turgeman just wide open back post. And I know there's buildup in that second goal that leads to it. You kind of had the same thing for Peyton Miller, little tap-ins here because there's just a total collapse defensively inside the box. Guys are scrambling. Guys are trying to get back. They're not getting back. And the communication is failing. And so it's a complete mess defensively in your own box, and it's just still too easy to score goals
but
against.
Here's my thing is there's been a lot of times this season that we've seen, I think defensively in a lot of these performances we've seen, it's actually not been too bad. This one I feel like is an outlier, especially from the defensive side a little bit. And just because everything kind of just fell apart after the two goals there. Again, for me, the biggest thing that we've been talking about that has not changed is the attack, is finding anything in the back of the net.
And then your defense has to be perfect because of it.
Exactly. Yeah. You're putting so much pressure on that back line to be perfect when there's nothing happening in front of goal. That's the issue. At the end of the day, when we talk about the game, when we talk about football, goals win games.
Separate of what happened against Charlotte, this game was over at 1-0. This game was over when Carlos Hill in the 11th minute scored. And I said it pregame, if Atlanta United is going to win, it has to be 1-0. Once New England scored, knowing what we know about how they are defensively, this game felt over. And you did almost strike back. Ultimately, you didn't. And then 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, and then actually over when they played an unnecessary 6 minutes of stoppage time. Before we wrap up here this opening segment, Matt, we do have to give out a man of the match. Who are we thinking today?
I'm going to give it to Alexi Maranchuk. I think in for a majority of these matches for Atlanta United, he's the guy. He's if we're going to put it in the standpoint of comparing, I think in that way, he is what Carlos Hill is to New England Revolution, I think, for Atlanta United. In the standpoint that he needs to be the guy that you feed through to find things in the attack. Whenever he gets the ball, he's able to connect and find those moments. That's happened in almost every single game we've seen Alexi play for Atlanta this season and since he's been here. I think today you saw it in the goal, in the consolation
incredible
goal.
Incredible vision, incredible touch.
Exactly.
To get the
he's
ball
able
to
find.
Yeah.
He's able to find it. It starts with Miguel, but Alexi's able to go back in. It's between him and Kamen, back and forth. The pass to Miguel to then slot it home is absolutely incredible. But not even solely that. I think for when you look ahead to the rest of the season, when you look ahead everything else, Alexi is the guy that this team needs to feed to because he has the vision. He can come in. He can connect those dots. He can just be that magic worker in the midfield and getting things involved in the attack. You want to get him more involved, and because I think he's the person to do it. But I think he is the man of the match for today.
And I know Miggy scored today. I actually thought Miggy played pretty well offensively. I know there's some question about the work rate defensively, tracking back in a couple of things. I thought Miggy actually had a pretty good game. But Alexi, to your point, his third man of the match, he continues to be the designated player that you're actually getting the most production out of, which is a little less than ideal, obviously. All right, when we come back, we'll take a look and listen to some of the highlights. We'll also see if we can catch up with a player or two postgame. So that's a reason to stick around. The full-time report. Atlanta United falls 4-1 to New England on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Report.
Full time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midtown Kia Studios. It's Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz recapping a loss from Gillette Stadium. Atlanta United falls 4-1 to the New England Revolution. They are one of the top four teams in the Eastern Conference, and the 3 points are going to help them stay right there. New England, of course. Atlanta United falls to dead last in the Eastern Conference and dead last in MLS overall, and that is not good. Also not good, 4 goals. Let's hear them. The highlights, they're brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. It started out early, and it was one of the players who just has a massive tendency to really strike in games against Atlanta United. Of course, we're talking about Carlos Hill in the 11th minute.
New England reshaping now. Here's a pitch over the head of Hill to Polster on the right wing. He'll knock it down to Hill, 30 yards from goal on the right wing. He dribbles past Moyambo, right of the arc. Shot! Score! Done so many times before, Carlos Hill finds a goal against Atlanta United, and New England's got the early lead here in the 11th minute.
Yeah, he put a move on Tristan Moyambo about 28, 30 yards out. He shook him and then put a nice left-footed curling shot to the far post. It looked like Lucas Oyo's a little slow to react. I think he was screened by a couple of players and didn't quite get a great look at the shot, but it is placed well, and so it's 1-0. There, and then a little bit later in the first half, New England's able to double their lead.
And they're going to add the play short to Reigns. Now Youssef in the near attacking corner, dropping back to Fofana. Centered to Tergemon. Bounce back in the near corner. Here is Carlos Hill. Sending it ahead now to Reigns. Played to Youssef. Tough angle shot. Score! It's dunked in by Tergemon at the near post, and New England's got the 2-0 lead.
And you went to halftime at that point, and you thought to yourselves, maybe, hey, we just came off of a performance like this. We could turn it around like we did in Charlotte. But 10 minutes into the second half, it was found not to be as New England found a third.
Good young group here for New England. Oh, here's a giveaway by Cooper Sanchez. A blocked through ball. Rolls to Hill. Top of the arc to Youssef. Left of the post. Cross the back post. And they score with Peyton Miller. 3-0.
Couple of really nice passes there. Credit to New England for converting on the break. They would go on 10 minutes later to find a fourth goal. Brooklyn Reigns touched the pass in from Jackson Ewell. It was 4-0 all the way up until the 85th minute. A really nice give-and-go for Atlanta United. Eventually ends up at the boot of Miguel Almiron.
There's Ronald Hernandez now behind the right halfway line, dribbling across into the New England half and flicking it down the middle to Almiron. Ahead to Maranchuk. Good ball to Togashi. Back to Maranchuk to Almiron. Inside the box. Shot, score. Good team goal by Atlanta. They do get one here in the 85th minute.
And so there it is. Those are your highlights brought to you by Scana. Four goals from New England, just one for Atlanta United. The other frustrating part about this, it's Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz here on the Full-Time Report. This is now two straight games, Maddie, that Miguel Almiron has scored in, and I can't get excited about it because of 4-0, and it feels like a mercy goal. And it, look, it was an outstanding give and go with Alexi Maranchuk. I thought it was a really nice shot from Miguel. I thought he also had a really nice strike earlier, but Matt Turner up to the task. And so we're seeing a little bit more offensively from Miggy than we saw the pre-World Cup break. But ultimately, you know, scoring in two straight games, it's tough to find the optimism in that right now because of when this goal came and the manner in which it came in terms of the performance overall from the team. But you are maybe starting to see a little bit more from him offensively.
You'd want to see it more consistently. For me as well, though, when you find those goals, you got to make sure in those moments, especially with the way New England was attacking, we needed to see him drop back and to help defensively, and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And that's the other part of it, too, where it's, yes, we are happy that we're seeing those goals, but we do have to see that more consistently too. But listen, if Miguel can keep moving on and keep finding those goals and maybe that becomes a little bit more consistent, that's good. That's going to help this team moving forward because, again, you need to find a way to start producing more goals in matches.
And so Atlanta United falls in this one 4-1, and it was relatively uncompetitive. Again, say what you want about the chances Atlanta United had, or lucky or unlucky. I felt when Carlos Hill scored in the 11th minute, it was over.
Yeah, it's when you go up against a team like New England, they only allow 18 goals. They are one of the best teams in MLS defensively this season, and especially with a team like that, it's how effective they are and how they've won. And actually going through some of their matches, a lot of times they've won a lot of matches by just one goal, like you said. So, yeah, with Carlos Hill, with the way that they're able to play, if they can find that outlet through him, yeah, then it's you're looking at that. And especially, again, with Atlanta not being able to find something in the attacking third and being able to have that attacking quality and to put it in the back and then to try to tie it up and, you know, push New England out of their shell a little bit, that's the problem. That's the problem at the end of the day.
All right, when we come back here on the Full-Time Report, we'll see if we can get some post-game audio coming from either Tata or a player. If we're unable to grab that, I'm going to be honest, Maddie. I got a rant coming. I got a vent on some things here in regards to Atlanta United, so... If you want to hear me instead of Tata, make sure you stick around because I got some thoughts that we're going to get off the chest here. That's coming up next in 5 minutes. Stick around. It's a Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. It's Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz here in the Kia Studios. A 4-1 loss for Atlanta United, and obviously a number of members of the organization not pleased with the effort today. I'm sure Tata Martino is one of them. But in the meantime, at the press conference, the post-game podium, Atlanta United assistant coach Rodrigo Rios addressed the media.
We couldn't, and we didn't have the players to rotate. So I think that was changed. I mean, we create a lot with the ball, but defensively, we couldn't recover the ball as we did the previous game.
Yeah, it felt like the first 10-15 minutes of the second half, there just wasn't a lot of energy in it. That's where New England puts the game away. Just really no options to change it from the bench.
You can see our bench. We have like a lot of young guys that they're training with us. They've been part of preseason, but they're still young. Not only on the bench, we're talking about Cooper Sanchez that is really young and we put a lot of responsibility on him. His output physically is over the chart every game and we keep demanding from him and he keep pushing himself. So it's not fair. And we wish we have like more players that they can do that role in the middle of the field or overall in every position.
So the two first halves are actually really similar, Wednesday and Saturday to me, and that Atlanta was the better team, but they conceded twice. What of those first halves do you want to see carry forward for the team when we go to Philadelphia next week?
None of them. We want to be 2-0 up. Yeah. We want to be solid defensively. We want to put away like the chances that we create. And like I said, to have the energy, the power to record the ball in better areas. As you can see, we did a massive effort, but we were like, far from the ball, we struggled that. And when you are like 2-0 down again, I think mentally your tiredness become like even bigger and it's hard to get out of there. So credit to the players that they keep pushing and we score a fantastic goal at the end of the game. We create a lot of chances and they're going to keep fighting. So that's the hope that we want to see, not from specific half or specific game, but that's what we see the light that we can do it.
That was Atlanta United assistant coach Rodrigo Rios, Maddie. And, you know, I kind of like what he said in terms of Jason's reference to feeling that Atlanta United was the better squad in the first half in the past two games and had a 2-0 deficit both times to show for it. And Rodrigo was pretty open. It's like there's no argument to be made about whether you're the better side. You're trailing 2-0 each time, and you can't do that. We know we can't do that. So I'm not necessarily looking to carry over first half performances. I'm looking to change something so that the scoreline's not 2-0 at half for a third straight game.
Yeah, you want to see the good play. You want to see those moments transition into you being the one that gets on the front foot first. You want to be the one that is making the opponent try to find a response. You want to put the game away early, just like Charlotte tried to do in the last match and like New England did today. Atlanta wants to be that team on the front foot, and they just haven't been.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, and I do disagree with Jason. I thought you were the better team against Nashville. I don't think you were the better team in the first half against Charlotte, and I don't think you were the better team in the first half today. I thought today was a little bit more even, and you felt a little bit worse off today being down 2-0 than you'd. I thought Charlotte completely outplayed you on a path to 2-0. I think today was a little bit more even, and 2-0, you know, existed either way.
I think what he's talking about, and it's one of the things that I do agree in this standpoint of it, I don't think he's talking about the performance in the standpoint of, oh, yeah, Atlanta blew New England or Charlotte out of the water.
We definitely didn't take care of England.
But, all right, let me finish my point. One of the things as well, though, is when you look at the stats, you look at everything else, you were the one creating chances. You were the one that were moving the ball. You were the one that were getting in those spots. But again, it's the same conversation that I've said since we've started postgame. None of that matters if you're not finding the back of the net. That's what Jason's talking about. And the standpoint of, yeah, you were performing decently well, but none of that matters if you're not finding the back of the net and you're not putting goals on the board.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest. I think you can only make the arguments of we felt like we were the better team and had nothing to show for it when it's like it was against Nashville, when it is 0-0 heading into half. Because once the goal scored, all that better than game control, scoring chance, all that's out the window once an actual goal is converted by the opponent. And so it's a really tough argument to be making, in my opinion, especially when it's 2-0 back-to-back weeks now. And
against Charlotte, it's different, though, because you were able to come back in the second and fight back. It's not easy to fight back
after the fact, and do that.
Not easy to do that.
Well, again, you were kind of hoping that you'd get a little bit of that today, and you didn't. And, you know, that's the frustrating thing is I think the World Cup break was long enough, Maddie, that you almost moved on from how bad the first 14 games were. And the performance against Nashville, although a 1-0 loss, gave you reason for optimism that maybe the break was good. You're mentally, physically recharged. Something's going on. You felt a lot better. You didn't get the result. Didn't love the performance against Charlotte, but you did fight back and you found a result. And we talked about it pregame. Can you find a way to mesh those two? A good performance and the result that you got from Charlotte, or a better result, obviously, would be even better. You've gone completely the wrong direction. And that's what's frustrating for me, is that I'm now at a spot, and obviously Philly won. You're now dead last in MLS. And look, that could change on Saturday. A week from now, you're playing a team in Philly who's not very good. Yeah, they're ahead of you, so what? They're not very good. You're not very good. And so maybe this changes when we talk in a week's time, but it took 3 games coming back off the World Cup break for me essentially to be burnt out watching this team again. It took 14 games of the first half, if you want to, you know, use the World Cup break as a halftime. And by the time they broke, we were like, I'm so happy we get a break from watching this. It's taken 3 games for me to get right back to the exact same spot. And it shouldn't have. It didn't have to, because I felt pretty good after that first game. I did. I know it was a loss, but I felt pretty good. And there were arguments to be made about the fight and the point that you got at Charlotte to feel that way as well in the second game back. None of it today. I mean, you're 4-1. It was 4-0. You scored a mercy goal in the 85th minute. Really nice goal. One of the prettier team goals of the season. 4-0 leading into that. And I'm just sitting here almost concerned about what this conversation could be in a week's time. Maybe it is 3 points on the road in Philly, and we're like, all right, they're not good. You did what you're supposed to do. Maybe you're not the worst team in the league. What if you go there and lose? Like, you're the worst team in the MLS.
It's one of the I want to take this into a different realm, I think. I want to take it more big picture a little bit, because it's something that Jason mentioned, but then Rodrigo also mentioned, and it's when he was talking about Cooper, and he was talking about Cooper Sanchez and, you know, what he's been asked to do. He's still a very young kid, and he's playing like a seasoned pro out there. But again, you know, this is a kid that had to play almost 90 minutes in two games, maybe three, actually, if you include Nashville, too. And it's one where when we talk about where everything is going, the transfer window is open. Chris Henderson has been very adamant, talking to Mike and Jason since before the World Cup break, talking about how, yes, there's going to be changes, that they are working to bring in reinforcements. And here's the thing. We got Junior Alonso. You got Paulo Diaz as well, waiting on visa stuff, too. It's not done yet. And again, one thing that is unfortunate right now is it's going to be a process. And it's going to be a process to bring in those reinforcements to help this team, too, because that's not something you can rush. You cannot rush this process because you don't want this process to be rushed in that situation. And that's another big thing to look at here in that standpoint, too, is trying to bring in those reinforcements and then also still trying to work with as well with what you have right now as well.
Yeah, and look, the team has been pretty open about multiple, you know, transfer windows to get this where they need to be. You've had one. You're kind of in the middle of one, and we'll see on the other side what how different it feels and what changes you make. You haven't gotten any better. And it is going to take time, but it might be even longer than even they had thought. You're also having trouble getting some of the guys that you need to get out of the system, out of the system. And so we'll see if that comes down during the current transfer window as well. All right, we're going to continue breaking it down. I got some more rants and thoughts, and we'll look at what went down with Philly tonight, your next opponent, and see if we can get some more sound there from Gillette Stadium as well. So stick around. The full-time report continues on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Full-time! This is the full-time report
on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Atlanta United falls 4-1 in this one to New England Revolution. One of the top four teams in the Eastern Conference. Still an ugly, ugly loss and ugly scoreline. And after the match, Atlanta United captain Miguel Almirón addressed the media, including our very own Jason Longshore.
I think what's causing that lack of attitude?
No, porque ya venimos hace tiempo con esto. No, hace tiempo nos viene, nos sigue pasando las mismas cosas. Creo que cada uno, siempre digo que yo soy el primero que tiene que mejorar. Cada uno tiene que, en lo personal también tiene que mejorar y agarrar la responsabilidad que cada uno le corresponde.
No, I think this is an issue we've been dealing with for a long time. So I think everyone has to just look at themselves and be able to, you know, handle the responsibility, starting with myself, of course. We all have to look at ourselves and, you know, assume this responsibility to be able to get ourselves out of the situation.
What do you think are the most important things to turn this around ahead of next Saturday in Philadelphia?
No, a veces creo que es frustrante porque tenemos un gran equipo, un gran grupo, tenemos compañeros que juegan bien, también se acoplaron compañeros nuevos que también nos van a ayudar mucho. Es frustrante porque no se nos están dando los resultados, pero nada, nos toca trabajar, como siempre yo digo, a mí ya me pasó esta situación, yo ya la viví, sé que solamente se sale trabajando el doble, a nosotros no nos sobra nada, por eso tenemos que trabajar el doble para ganar los partidos.
It's frustrating because we think that we have a good team. You know, we have good players, good teammates, and now we've added some new faces to the group who are going to help. So it's frustrating, but we know that we just have to keep working. That's the only way that we can get ourselves out of this. We have to work twice as hard. I've been through this situation before. I've experienced it. I know what it's like, and the only way out is just to work twice as hard.
I know how much this affects you because I know how much the club means to you. When you have some of the newer players here that are struggling with these moments, what advice do you give them?
Sí, la verdad que a mí me afecta mucho porque también yo quiero mucho al club. Por algo también vine para poder ayudar al club y la verdad que un momento así uno no se lo espera, pero también uno está preparado para eso. Creo que por algo pasan las cosas. Yo voy a seguir trabajando para poder ayudar a mis compañeros y nada, con los jugadores que vinieron también creo que van a ayudar. Creo que también son jugadores de experiencia, jugadores que ya pasaron por por estos momentos, al final son momentos que uno puede revertirlo con mucho trabajo.
Yeah, it affects me a lot because I love the club. That's why I came back, because I wanted to, and I wanted to help the club in this situation. So, things happen for a reason. But now we have new players who are also here, as you said, who are here to help and help the team get out of the situation. But yeah, things happen for a reason, and yeah, I'm gonna do what I can to try and work and get us out of it.
That was Miguel Almiron, captain of Atlanta United, through a translator there with Jason Longshore and the rest of the media after a 4-1 loss for Atlanta United to the New England Revolution. It's Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz, the full-time report. When we come back, final thoughts on this one, and we'll get you set as we thankfully have an opportunity to turn the page on this one and look ahead towards a battle with the Philadelphia Union. Just stick around. Final segment coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the full-time report.
Full time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Final couple of minutes here. It's Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz, the full-time report. And Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they'll donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $2,000, but that could change in a week's time because Atlanta United is heading up to Philadelphia Subaru Park. This is a team in the Philadelphia Union that just a year and a half ago were Supporter Shield winners in MLS. They tore it all down, broke it all down, and are trying a new approach, and it has not worked for them. It similarly is not working for Atlanta United. These are the two worst teams in the Eastern Conference of MLS, and we'll see if Atlanta United can kind of flip the script a little bit based on what we've seen, because as bad as it's been here, at least tonight, Maddie, you're talking about a New England squad that is one of the top five teams that is going to be going to the playoffs, that is going to be likely have home field advantage. I guess it could fall apart here in as many games as you still have here. I guess tonight is the halfway point, right? 17 down, 17 to play. So from that perspective, you can make your arguments that at least tonight was against a playoff squad. Obviously, a week from now, you have to do better than this because it is Philadelphia. They are at your level. And maybe we get to feeling a little bit differently. I don't know how much, a good performance against Philly really is going to change things. But certainly you like the idea of being able to go up to Philly. Maybe you play like you did against Nashville. Maybe you play like that second half against Charlotte and you can find a result. But you certainly cannot carry over whatever tonight's performance was.
Going to Philadelphia, listen, Philadelphia, I don't know, I always am not a big fan of playing Philadelphia as well. But listen, they're a side that is
I'd rather
going
play them than New England again.
They're going to get under your skin. That's what Philadelphia is. But at the end of the day, for Atlanta, you can't focus on that. You need to get 3 points. You need to turn it around. I think not only for everyone, but I think also just for everyone there. I mean, to try to build momentum, to get back on track, to find something, you got to get 3 points. You have to get 3 points against Philly.
It'll be interesting to see a couple of questions about the personnel choices to be made. We mentioned that Cooper Sanchez is going to be heading off to the U-20s. Still without Jay Fortune in the midfield due to his injury. And so it'll be interesting to see what the midfield choices end up being there. And I was talking with you just off air, Maddie. Adrian Gill's a potential. I do think that maybe Matt Edwards is potential, but it kind of just depends on what you're trying to do. That would obviously take a late game sub as Jacob comes back, out of the play there. So it'll be interesting to see what the midfield is. And also if there's the decision to be made, I know Mike and Jason talked about it up top. You and I have been fans of Kamen Togashi for a while now. It just feels like in the limited time he is given, he's just in the middle of it one way or another. So be interesting to see if along with Miggy and Moronchuk, maybe we get Kamen Togashi starting up top, replacing Fafa Pico. Not that Fafa's been, you know, dreadful, but Togashi just seems to have impact. So I think the lineup's going to be front and center as you head up to Philadelphia. It's the final game of this road trip that returns to play. And like I kind of just stumbled on, this is the midway point. You've played 17 games. You've got 17, unless my math is off. My math could be off by one. You're pretty close, though. I think you played 16, right? 11. 3, 11, and 3. Oh, boy, that's bad. 3, 11, and 3? That's not good, Maddie. It's not good. So you are at the midway point of the season, and if you're going to turn it around, what better way to do it than with 3 points on the road, even if it is against Philadelphia? You know, for all the haters out there, let's remind MLS who really is the worst team, and hopefully it's them, because if you go up there and drop all the points, there's not much arguing after that, is there? Not much. So hopefully that's not the case. We will find out in a week's time. That's going to do it for the full-time report. Join us again at 6:30 Saturday, August 1st, for the next broadcast. Atlanta United is going to take on the Philadelphia Union. Special thanks to Dom Cherosky, our producer in studio. For Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United, safe travels back here to Atlanta. And, of course, for Madison Cruz of Soccer Down Here, I'm Abe Gordon. Once again, the final today, New England 4 and Atlanta United 1 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Blow for full time. Full time!
You've been listening to Our Atlanta United. Catch every minute of the action here.
Today's game is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury vehicle of Atlanta United. The Home Depot. From performance on the field to projects around the house, doers make a difference. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Emory Healthcare, the official team healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Your local Ford dealer. And by AT&T, the official wireless partner of Atlanta United.
The official home for Our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.